This message was preached in the Trinity Bible Church pulpit in East Santo Domingo, Dominican Republic.
The question that we will attempt to answer is, for whom did Christ die? And the passage is John chapter 6, verses 37 through 40. There we read, "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." So, we're going to answer this question. For whom did Christ die? From beginning to end, the Bible uses universal expressions when speaking of salvation, such as the world, all, each, all men. These phrases express the idea of large numbers of people. However, it does not always use these terms to refer to the entire human race. We cannot be content with quoting a text from the scripture to support the idea that the death of Christ has been for the salvation of all in a universal way, because not all are saved, and it is evident that many have departed from this world without Christ. Rather, we must study the scriptures within its context, and in this way, we can reach the conclusions that are in agreement with the scripture. Many people also assume that the fact that men receive some material benefits is already an evidence of their salvation. And this is a mistake, because even though the sun rises over the evil and the good, every benefit that we receive, whether spiritual or material, is the fruit of the work of Christ as a general benefit. Since we all live on this earth, but as for salvation, it can only be received through faith in Christ and not as a general benefit of living on this earth. In the same way, others err, and they're wrong when they say that Christ provides us with a situation or alternative for salvation, as if from him we receive some quality or capacity to be saved, as if we could already participate with some personal effort or works in our salvation. However, the scriptures say that he came to save us. He obtained eternal redemption, Hebrews 9:12. He, Jesus, reconciled us with the Father. Let us answer this question then. For whom did Christ die? And note that I would not carry out an exhaustive analysis of the text, but I will extract two principles that are going to help us understand for whom Christ died. The first one, Christ died for those who belong to him. See verses 37 and 39 in our text. Christ died to save a particular number of sinners, that is, those that he chose. It says, "As he chose us in him before the foundation of the world." Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. Those whom the Father has given him from the world, I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those you gave me, for they are yours, said Jesus in John 17, 9. Because they were given to him by the Father, they belong to Christ, they are his sheep. See John chapter 10, verses 11 and 14. The sheep hear him, they follow him, they obey him, because they are his sheep. They belong to him. Everyone that the Father gives me will come to me. They were chosen by the Father and given to the Son of God for their salvation, so that none was lost. And to whom he gave them? To Jesus Christ. They are his possession, his belongings. They are his. I know my sheep, says the Lord in John chapter 10, verse 14. In this verse, we see the great and profound truth of the election and the call for eternal life that God makes to a people, a remnant from all over the world. The Father has given a people to His Son to be His for all eternity. These are the sheep of Christ, His people. This is a doctrine that comforts the people of God, and the humblest man who is lost in his sins finds a great Savior in Christ. Oh, my beloved brothers, what a comfort to know that God the Father prepared our salvation before any of us could understand it. And He gave us Christ, His beloved, so that by means of an eternal covenant in His own blood, we find peace with Him and full and glorious joy. In second place, God, Christ, died so that no one will be lost and have eternal life. Verses 39 through 40. That of all that you give me, I do not lose anything. Those who were given to Him by the Father and by whom He poured out His blood. For this is my blood of the New Testament, of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Matthew 26:28. It was in order to pay for all the sins of which they have been chosen, so that no one is lost. Forgiveness of sins is for those whom the Father has predestined since the foundation of the world. What we are saying is that Christ achieved and assured the salvation of those who were delivered to them from those whom the Father chose for salvation. They were delivered to Jesus, to Him. In His body and blood, a new covenant was made by which Christ sealed the salvation of all that the Father delivered to Him, but resuscitate Him on the last day. In His death, Christ suffered as a substitute for the sin of the elect in particular, so that no one is lost, but so that they are resurrected. The Father's will for all the members of Christ is to have a glorious resurrection, and shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. His work is not incomplete. He will complete the work with the resurrection. Just as He died and rose again, so He will do with us. Our victory is assured. While we are in this world, we will have affliction. But we trust Christ overcame. Christ overcame. And we will be raised, resurrected as He Himself was. When Christ rose, this was the evidence or seal of confirmation that God the Father accepted His sacrifice on our behalf. And our own resurrection will also be the evidence that we are His seal. And our resurrection will come from the hand of Christ Himself. Brothers, we must long for the day of resurrection. The day will come when we will see our Savior. On that day of resurrection, the day when we will be freed from the battle against our own flesh, against death, against Satan and our sin, a day in which we will be perfect, knowing the Lord Jesus Christ in all His glory. And everyone who sees the Son and believes in Him has eternal life. Everyone who has looked to Christ by faith and has trusted him for his salvation will have eternal life, because God the Father has called him, because he himself has brought the Son of God. There are no barriers or difficulties or objections. There are no objections. No one can say that he is excluded, because the expression everyone prevents him, and seeing and believing are all that is necessary. No one can say that God's conditions are too demanding. See and believe to have eternal life. If you look through faith at the Son of God dying on the cross of Calvary and believing him, you will be saved. Because in his death, he cleanses the sinner from all his evil. If, like the Israelites, you have been beaten by sin, just as they have been beaten by the serpent in the desert, look at the cross. As they looked at the serpent that God raised for their salvation, in the same way, look at Christ, look at him, and cry out to him, and you will be saved. And Christ himself will raise you up on the last day. You will not stay out of the redemption of the children of God. You will also get up. You get up from the tomb. In Christ, there is no danger of being lost in eternal perdition. And what do we learn from this verse as means of applications to our lives? In first place, brothers, we belong to the family of God. And although you are the most awkward of them, the most awkward of men, your salvation is as sure as we belong to him. We also learn that we belong to Christ. He is our Lord and Savior. We live up and involve the Lord's work of looking for the lost sheep in the place where God has called us to serve him. We have to get involved in the work of the kingdom of God, looking for the lost sheep and find them. We have to go and find them in the way, in the place that God has called us to serve him. In third place, my friend, you who hear me, do not miss the opportunity to belong to the family of God. The will of God the Father is that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have eternal life. Oh, my friend, do not lose the mercy of finding in Christ your sufficient Savior, who has also promised not to leave you in the shame here on earth. Today is the day of salvation and mercy in Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, whoever that comes to you with a contrite heart, by no means you will cast him out. You have promised that. What a great hope we have in you, because you are worthy of trust. You are worthy of love, honor, and glory. Your word is true, and you have promised this, and we can trust your word. May your will be fulfilled in our lives, in all of those who believe in you, renew the hope of resurrection, O Lord, and the expectation of the Lord Jesus' second coming. Renew this hope in our hearts, Lord. Bring those sheep who are still lost in the hills of this world, bring them to repentance, bring them to redemption, and to your flock. To your flock to be redeemed and to be saved for the eternity. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.